So, good morning or afternoon, everybody, however you're coming to practical applications today. I'm sure probably all of you know, I'm Dr. Michelle Gunderson, and this is practical applications, get results with your words. And you can hear me just kind of hopping out of my chair today here. I have taught this course a number of times now, but it has never been this course. It has never been where we're going this time around because we are in an unprecedented world. There's been unprecedented growth in my company, in our community, and some craziness clearly in the world. So this course is absolutely at the cutting edge. So much I want to share with you. Next week we're going to get started with some quiet time, and I'll talk to you about that toward the end of the call. But today, I want to leap right in with you. So let me see. Yeah, I want to leap right in with you. And thank you for that. And Yvonne, I have made you co-host for today. I don't know if you so. Thank you so much for that. You can help with if you guys can mute your lines. If you notice that you're unmuted, you mute your line so we have a nice clear recording. And so that you can hear my voice, there'll be times where you can ask questions, where you can interact, but I just want to make sure you can hear me. So this course is practical applications. Get results with your words. And I want to start with a story. And this story is going to probably will seem like it has nothing to do with getting results with your words. Like, why are you starting here? But it should be apparent after just a minute. So the only one who knows us here is Yvonne, because we were at an event together last week. And I've not told this story publicly anywhere, but what was it, early in the night, Friday morning, at like 1 a.m., I had been sleeping and I realized my legs were asleep, so I just stepped out of bed. You know, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna walk it out. And my legs collapsed under me. I fell to the floor. I screamed. My daughter came running in at 1 in the morning, like, Mom, what's going on? What's up? You know, and I thought that I'd broken my ankle. I thought I'd injured both my feet, possibly. And the weird thing about that moment was it wasn't just in the injury, it was in the surrealness of it. Because I wasn't even awake yet. And my daughter was going, Mom, are you okay? What is it? Did you hit your head? But you know, right? I was sitting on the floor. And I was trying to get the words out. You know, I'm fine, by the way. I'm fine. It's okay. Right? But I was trying to get the words out to say to her, you know, listen, I'm all right. It's okay. But the words wouldn't even come. And she said, Mom, afterwards, we were talking about it. She said, Mom, it was like you were still half asleep. And it's just like this crazy moment where the whole world is upside down. And I wanted to start here. The last time I taught this course was a year ago. And this is a whole new course because we are at a whole new place. Like I say, there's a whole new company and a whole new world. My life has completely revolutionized, as I know yours has as well. And I just thought, you know, the way that I was feeling in that and not even knowing quite where I was and what had just happened, why did this happen? My legs were more asleep than I knew and just happened seemingly in a split second. And this is how I think often we're feeling in the world these days. This is surreal. Where even am I? What the is going on? What are the contexts for our work? It's like a moving world and we don't even know where we are. If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. If you've ever felt like this in the last, I don't know, since last March, a little bit disoriented. Thank you. So I think that that is a context for our world these days. Sometimes it just feels surreal. So let me give you just a couple of examples, and then I'll tell you again how this connects with practical applications, get results with your words in just a second. So much feels surreal these days. My daughter's dad dropped off a package for Dana just a couple of days ago. Now, if he'd stepped into our place there and somebody and a neighbor had been watching in my city, there would have been a $3,000 fine because you can't have anybody over at your place. It's a $1,000 fine per person. Sometimes we feel like the world is not our own anymore. Like, what even happened? Like, what world did we wake up in? I was talking to a friend yesterday, and her, you know, her company has done tremendously this year and she's doing great. And even still, what's the underbelly? What's the thing that sometimes we're talking about, sometimes we're not talking about, but the context that we're living in, right? And wow, it's $2,500. Karen's adding, it's $2,500 here for being with someone outside your home. So it feels surreal. If we could pile it back to a year ago and tell our former selves, listen, like for me, I canceled 21 trips this year. You're not going to go to any, your whole year is not going to be what you thought it was going to be. If you have anybody in your home, there's going to be $1,000, $2,500 fine. My friend told me, I don't know if she's right or not. I looked it up. I couldn't find it. I don't live in LA. She doesn't live in LA either. But she said, you know, in LA, you can't even walk outside anymore. You're not allowed to. Like, so confusion about what's even, what are the rules and what are you allowed to do and what are you not? And feeling surreal, feeling like the world is not our own, and fatigue. If you've ever felt tired once this year, raise your hand. Anyone? Thank you for your honesty, right? So kind of like me waking up, like, where even am I? I just think that this is the conditions of our lives for so many of us. And it's happening so quickly. We've got new ways of working at home. We're working virtually where maybe we weren't before. We're missing that third place. Anybody read about the third place? Do you know about that? Okay, so even that, a friend of mine mentioned this to me a couple of times this year. And I'm like, oh, right. You know, we used to have home and we'd have work and then we'd go to a third place. And for some of us, and again, I know it's not personal to me, everyone's experiencing this, right? In some way, shape, or form. I used to go traveling. And so that was the third place I'd go to. I'd go to restaurants. I would relax by going for a massage. I would go to the gym. Then I'd go to a yoga class. And all of that third place, there's work, there's home, and then there's that third place. It all disappeared. And then I started going hiking with a local group. Fantastic. Now that's shut down too. So my other third place is gone. We are missing all of the stable, usual things in our lives. And it's happened so quickly that our nervous systems haven't even had a chance to catch up. Like, Michelle, is this a course on COVID-19? Or why are you talking about this? Isn't this about practical applications? I wanted to start really real. I wanted to start with some of the things that are happening in our lives. And then the why what we're doing here, the context, why this is so very foundational, why this is so very important. There's nothing more important that we could be doing than what we're going to be doing here. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. All right. So these surreal things that if we told ourselves a year ago, we go, that's a police state where, you know, you get a fine of $2,500 if somebody comes in, that's not where we live. And of course I'm traveling. And, you know, of course, like it's happened so quickly. And there's so much fatigue out there. And then these new ways of working. And even if we've been working virtually already, I started teaching at university, years and years ago, but I was teaching virtually when nobody else was doing it in 2006. So it's not new. I've been teaching virtually for 14 years, but it's still new. Some things I'm doing live, used to do live, now that's now everything is virtual. And so shifting ground beneath us. So as I've been contemplating that weird falling down in the middle of the night, I thought, what an apt metaphor. Doesn't it feel like the world, like our legs have gotten, you know, caught out from beneath us in ways that we don't understand. And it's happening more quickly than ever. And then sometimes more slowly than ever. I don't know if you've seen, there's like some spoof things online too about like, you know, here we are again in the same place, not moving from this place. I've been in these walls, you know, so kind of surreal world that we're living in. So isn't it, and if that's made sense to you, any piece of what I've said, raise your hand. Anything of this touch your life? Thank you. So here's the thing. To me, it's more urgent than ever that our actions be effective, that our words land, that we're not running around like chickens with our heads cut off and trying to do a whole bunch of things that don't really work and then getting more tired and in this surreal world. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. What if instead practical applications get results with your words? One action, many results. Speak to a person about something heartfelt that will uplift everyone, and they actually take action on the words that you, on the thing that you're saying. Real communications with real people that move the needle in our lives and our world. I've taught this course a number of times now, and to me, it has never been more urgent. It has never been more important than now. And also, because I have grown so much, the community that I teach in has grown so much, the world has shifted so much. If you were here before, don't think that it's the same thing. You were here with different ears. You were here in a different context. You will hear, when you attune your ears, wholly different things. And if you're here for the first time, wow, welcome. What if these 6 weeks together, these six classes together, could mark the change for you? What if this is a time where you put your stake in the ground and you go, well, that was before, like Michelle falling on down in the middle of the night, and we feel like that sometimes. If you've ever felt like that in your business, kind of disoriented and don't know which way is up, even once this year, raise your hand in the work that you do. Thank you. What if we could move from that to standing on solid ground? Practical applications, get results with your words, and know the right actions to take in the right order to get the right results. Because it's not just having results with our words. Where should we even be using them? In what context and in what order and to whom and to what end? All of this and so much more awaits us here at Practical Applications. Get results with your words. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be an outstanding journey, I know, here together. Thank you for giving yourself the gift of this time together to really move the needle, not just in our businesses, but in our lives, not just in our lives, but in our world. If that makes sense to you, if you are hearing this is more important than ever. Yeah, thank you, Carly, raising your hand even before I got to raise your hand. Did I find the words to say it? Thank you so much. All right. So, are you using your words in the right place and the right words to get the right results? Are your words effective so the conversation moves to the next desired action for the highest good of all? More urgent than ever that we get this. So I want to start with that context first for the work that we're going to do in these weeks together. And I want to tell you, there's both going to be kind of like theoretical overview sometimes. And there's also going to be tactical on the ground. I don't even like that. That's a military metaphor. That sounds like we're at war. All right. There's going to be, because our words matter, right? Let me choose a different word. Practical. That's what it's called, practical applications, right? Things that we do in our real world. You're going to go out there in the world in the ways that you can. You might go, well, I can't even go out in the world. Yes, you can, right? You can. So going out there in the world, doing things on the court, using your words on the court in ways that actually move the needle. And let me give you just one, and what do we learn in the right order? And we're going to learn that today. Where do we start so that our words are effective, right? Because some people waste a lot of time over here when they need to be starting over here, right? And I will tell you already, one of those where we're going to go to next week, today is the groundwork and the principles that we need. Next week, we're going to get to the first place where I want you to use your words. And a lot of people skip over that. And when they do, they waste hundreds of dollars, thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, and so much time and so much frustration. We want to start in the right place. And let me just give you an example of the power of this. So start in the right place, talking to people with two eyes and nose and a mouth. Real people. And start close in. It's one of the principles we'll talk about today, all right? And to start close in. And this can be so effective, and we're wasting our time so much. So let me just tell you, like when we're networking, when we're out there meeting people, I was at a little networking event not long ago. And from just talking to some people, this company brought it just one evening, this company brought in nearly $50,000. Just networking, just talking to a couple people. And again, to me, if you have a block in and around money, anybody here, money is the root of all evil. That's why I was raised, right? So if you've got a block, let me just do this to start. For me, money is just an energy form. It's neither good nor bad. It's just an energy form. And the more money I see coming into my company, provided that we are closer to the Dalai Lama than Hitler. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like money just exaggerates us. You give it to Hitler, look what happens. Give it to the Dalai Lama, look what happens. Or whoever your, you know, angel and demon may be in your world, all right? Money just exaggerates us. And money is service. If there's abundance coming into us, it means there's service going out. or there ought to be, or we won't have a business for long. Right? Let me just take your money and I won't give you anything. Oh, it's not a business, that's robbing. Right? Or let me just give you stuff and not take any money. That's a hobby, or that's a hobby, not a business. Right? So money just is a circulation. And what if it could be so much more efficient? What if it could be so much more effective? So that I don't have to get in this weird world where everything's a little bit upside down, more than a little bit upside down these days. It's so much so that it's become our, it's strange that we even think of it as normal, because we are living in it now. $1,000, $2,500 fine if somebody comes into my house. A year ago, we said, no, we don't live in that world. That's a police state. In this topsy-turvy sometimes world, to be able to go out, have words that land, make real connections with real people, actually serve people, have that abundance flowing. What if we could gain that power? What if we could gain it now? What if we could do it in the right order? That is the foundation of this course. If that excites you even a little bit, should I find the words to say it? Raise your hand. Thank you. All right. So a couple of announcements. So much I want to share with you in these 6 weeks together. Thank you for the thumbs up, Jay. I can't see you, but thank you for the thumbs up. That's awesome. I saw so many of you raising your hand. And also, if you go, wow, none of that's landed yet, that's okay. It will. It will. It's okay. And there's a community here who will uplift and support you. If there's a piece that's not landing for you, because maybe you're in the midst of, like, if I had been listening to myself at the moment after falling down, I wouldn't have heard any of this. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. In that moment, so disoriented, I couldn't have heard. That's okay. Our lives are sometimes like that these days. That's why we've got the recordings for you. That's why you're in community here. That's why somebody else will be there to uplift you, to help you with pieces that you might have missed. And the calls are structured to help you get all the pieces of it. All right. So a couple of announcements to begin. Yvonne, I'm hoping you can put some things in the chat for me so that I can keep on teaching. I'm not so good at multitasking, all right? So first, we have a special Facebook group that we have created just for this course, all right? So our chatting with each other during this course will all be over there, all right? And Yvonne, I hope you've got the link to that. I gave you the link to get to the link to that. So Yvonne's giving you the link to that Facebook group. If you're not already in it, and a bunch of you are not already in it, head on over there and add yourself to, you should have had an invitation, add yourself to the group, because that's a great place to share your ahas, to share your questions, to share your moments, to share your journey as you're in this journey of, in this, it's not just a course, in this journey of practical applications, get results with your words, right? So Facebook group. So let me see. Do I want to mention this? I think I mentioned that a little later in the announcements. I'm going to go in order here. Just some housekeeping pieces. Make sure you've added all our calls to your calendar. There is nothing extra here. Every call matters and every call builds on the other. So it's today. All the other calls will be on a Thursday. And thank you for making that adjustment. You know, for some of you, originally going to start on Thursday, couldn't make it Thursday. So today is our only call on Tuesday. You have this. We've been sending it to you in multiple different ways. It's Thursday, December 17th. So one more in December. I used to like host all kinds of classes and all kinds of stuff all through the season. I'm like, no, it's topsy-turvy. Rest, breathe, put some things into action when you want to, and take a break. All right. So we did that on purpose. And then Thursdays through January, 7th, January 14th, 21st, 28th. Right? So you can take the principles that you learn. There's some really key foundations we're going to learn in these next couple of weeks. You can go ahead and take a break and then play with them. And then we'll come back and build more in the new year. All the calls, 12:30 Mountain Time. Please translate to your own time zone. Recordings, as I mentioned, if you're unable to make a call, we'll have the recordings for you. So let me see. Who was it that told me? I think it was. Yes, Anne. Hi, Anne. I know you can't make it today, but I know you're going to be here for the other ones you told me, and, you know, enjoy the recording. Hi. All right. So, and others who aren't here today, if you're not here live, glad you're hearing my voice. The recordings will be there for you, posted in Story Freedom Academy within 48 hours, and access will be granted to the practical applications part of our Story Freedom Academy when the recording of today's call is available. So within 48 hours, you'll have access to Story Freedom Academy, where there'll be resources for you, there'll be some handouts, there'll be all the call recordings and so on. So the Facebook group, I mentioned that already. Questions, the Facebook group, go ahead and post your questions there. And Yvonne, I don't think we have one. Yvonne, would you post your questions for the next call here in the Facebook group? Thank you so much, my friend. So there'll be a place where it's like, hey, post your questions here for next week, but you don't have to, you can also ask each other questions there, right? And when you post it, the questions there, I'll be, there'll always be time to address questions on the call. But during the week, you can post other kinds of questions too and lean in with each other as you're learning these materials and diving in and playing with them, all right? If you want me to see any particular post in there, sometimes I'm gonna be in there, sometimes I may not be in there at any particular moment, tag me and text me, right? You're actually gonna give me my cell number, 403-968-3717. Yvonne, could you put my number in the chat? Tag me and text me if you want to be sure that I see it, all right? Because I might not be there when you tag me. I'm not, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook other than when I'm in there in the group, right? I don't just go and wander through Facebook. So tag me and text me if there's something that you want me to see, and then I'll be in there. The survey. Thank you. So many of you filled out the survey. Some of you still haven't. Thank you for completing it. I print them off. I circle things. I think about you, right? If you haven't yet completed the pre-course survey, it would be great. It would be fantastic if you still take time to complete it, all right? You can find the link in the email reminders as well as in the Facebook group, right? We're always going to send you things multiple ways. And if you ever have a question, amy@michellegunderson.com, amy@michellegunderson.com. If for some reason we missed a loop, you can also head over there in the Facebook group. Maybe somebody else in the group will already know the answer and you can get the answer right away from somebody else. There's only one of Amy, there's many of us. So pre-course survey, yes, please fill it out. I'm suggesting that you read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. I'm asking that you read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. And if you've already read it, read it again. The last time I read it was last week and I wrote the thing. I did my PhD in the area. What are the stories that bind us? What are the stories that set us free? And every time I read that document, I'm like, oh my God, right. I forgot that one piece. As I implement that, it moves the world. So I want us all to have that foundation. If you already read it again. You will see different things even after this call. All right. So an Anatomy of an Empowering Story. If you check Yvonne, you should have a link to that in the announcements. Can you
already put it in the chat box,
honey. Oh my God. Thank you so much, my friend. All right.
There seems to be an issue. Karen just noted it to me that with the link to the Facebook group, I'm just going to check in with Amy about that.
Something is weird with the link.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just there this morning and I was able to get there. It could be that maybe you haven't accepted the invitation yet or something. I know I was able to access it today. So if you could check Yvonne, that would be super great. And if ever you've got an issue like that, just, you know, get in touch with us. And then remember that we're doing the best we can too. So if we drop a thread, we'll pick it back up again. Please be patient. Jamie, I owe you an email. Reply. If I drop threads, please be patient with us. It doesn't mean that we don't see you. It doesn't mean we don't care. We care deeply. And sometimes we're deeply involved in another project. Some of you know that one of my projects is getting my daughter through this semester. Right? So I might be engrossed in that project at the moment, but our hearts are here with you. We've got a team here to support you. And just know that we will be there the best we can to make it right if we drop a thread. All right. Please be patient with us. All right. Any questions about the announcement so far? Lots of just foundational things as we begin our journey. And again, you'll have access to this in your emails and so on, just foundational place to begin. All right. I want to add one more piece that's kind of in our announcements before we dive into the material for today. We're already well into it. There's the context of our lives. What if we could have effective words? When we understand that why, we will dive into the material in a different way and get more out of it, all right? Really actualize it. But I want to say, and she didn't know that I was going to do this, a very special welcome to Marnie, who just leapt into our year-long journey, And so I know what that takes to do that. And I've done it myself in multiple different ways with my own mentors. I'm always a teacher and a student. And it's like, you know, we hold our breath and we go, But I love it when we can tap into that leaping energy, because isn't that what we want? We want to leap in our own lives. We have people that we can serve and support, and we want them to leap into something that can help them. And so Marnie, if you, okay. And Yvonne, can you, the group name is? Yvonne, if you can see if you can address, because I don't have that right in front of me. It's like, oh, techie stuff, not my area. So thank you, Yvonne. Marnie, so we would love to hear from you. You know, what is it? And sometimes we're still right in the midst of that leap, and sometimes we're like, what did I just do? Wherever you are, Marnie. So that we can tap into that leaping energy. What is it that made you decide to leap?
Well, I've been working for about a year and a half, writing and exploring how to be an entrepreneur. I actually come from a background working in the civil service for 25 years. So I understood that word world very well. And I've been writing. I just published my third book. And that was going really well. Super excited about that. But that next step, that barrier, bit of the terror barrier there, was holding me back. And part of it was the stories I was telling myself. So I actually came to Michelle through Karen McGregor's seminar that she did one day. And that day I found very helpful with all of the people, but in particular, I just connected to the fact that here I was writing stories and I know that I have powerful stories to tell, but I wasn't making it move forward in the way that I wanted. So through the series of talking to Michelle, what I felt was that I was being heard and that, you know, I had been talking to people, but not necessarily getting heard or any advice or any direction. And what I recognized, I'm a big believer in systems and structure. And I could see, okay, here's someone I can move forward with. And then when she talked about the community and I heard some of the people that were in it and I met a couple people like Yvonne, and then it was just okay. But it was a terrifying thing because when you're investing money and you're doing all these things and it's not moving you forward, you're thinking, well, is this just going to be one more thing that I go on and listen to and don't move? But even just the leap has already taken me forward in big ways. And so I'm super excited to be here. I'm looking forward to getting to know everyone and to being the proof of how this system works.
Marnie, thank you so much. Will you please join me? You can unmute on the count of three, just like celebrate that leap. We all want that leap for us, for the, ours and those in our world. Thank you for sharing your story. On the count of three, like, will we celebrate her leap together? Ready? One, two, three. Yay, Marnie! Welcome!
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And key pieces in her story. We're going to be, you know, if you go back and listen to what she just said, a couple calls on, you're going to hear different things in what she just said than you may have heard now. Sometimes we think it's about me finding the words, but one of the things she said is, oh, I felt heard. It's sometimes not at all about our words, it's somebody else's words. Are we listening to them? Right? Is a key piece. And we'll get there in different ways through the series, right? And Marnie also talked about a powerful, you know, the stories that she was telling herself and then the powerful stories that she had to tell. And both of those levels are so important. And that's why also I want you all to read Anatomy. If you read it last week, read it again, right? Because the story aspect of the words that we use, we were telling stories, we've got story inside us, and all of that is part and parcel of, you know, are people going to hear us or not? Are we going to find the right words or not? Are we going to be using them in front of the right people or not? Right? So Marnie, thank you so, so very much for that. And then also, I love that you said terror barrier. Did y'all hear that? Did you catch that part too? The people that we're meant to serve, each, you know, there's so many different fields represented. There's as many different fields representative, even if you do something similar, right? There's as many different fields in this room as there are number of people. Whatever it is that, in whatever way you serve people, that person in front of you who you can help, that's what they're feeling. Sometimes it's a little bit of fear. Sometimes it's massive. Sometimes it's like, oh, right? And our stories tell us that. Think about Luke Skywalker and how much he wants to go save the galaxy. No, sorry, I think I got to stay home with my uncle. I mean, we're like that, you know? even though I hate it here on the farm and I've been wanting to escape forever. No, I'm sorry, I can't go, right? We have this inertia and we have this fear, and our people do as well. So thank you for being vulnerable enough. Thank you for being honest enough to share that, Marty. So then in those contexts, how do we find the words that actually land with people for the highest good of all, right? So thank you for that. I just want to empty out the room for a second, because we've already been doing a lot about words. Even though I haven't started the official content for today, it's all related. It's all groundwork. It's all connected, right? So I want you to just take 1 minute and jot down your biggest aha. Because we've been talking a lot about story, about words, about where we use them, about the context for our words in these days, about how we help people, about money barriers. There's been a whole lot of context set here. What's your biggest aha? Take a minute to write it down. Just empty out the room a little so we have room for more. Okay, I would love to hear just one sentence, just one from a couple of you, because there's been a whole lot going on already. And when we hear what somebody else heard, it might be something that we missed. That might be exactly the most important thing for you in this call, right? One or two of you, just a single sentence aha, who would like to share? Who would like to share first?
I'll go, Michelle.
Thank you, Marnie.
The context of helping people when we're in crisis ourselves illustrates that words provide structure to get impact, but it's not just the people we serve, but ourselves that we serve with this process.
How to help people. And you know what's really cool? And the words provide the structure so that we can help people. I love that. And then I love it. Like, if we want our words to be effective, Marnie, are you okay if I just play with a couple of your words that you said? And no wonder you said it like that, because of the story I started with. It's like my legs gave out from underneath me. But when you said how to help people when we're in crisis ourselves, so interesting. How do we even hear the story that I told? We could hear that, oh, our whole world is like that and I feel like I'm in crisis. Or it could be, we could hear something different in that story. My daughter rushed in to serve and support me. We are all connected. It was only a momentary disassociation or a moment where I thought something bad had happened. And yes, there was a context, but hey, everything in the end was fine. And I got my legs beneath me right after that. And the bad things that I thought that had happened hadn't actually happened. So yes, I talked about the context in the world out there. But then that doesn't have to be my world either, right? I set you up for that kind of, right? So then sometimes we say, how do I help people when I'm in crisis myself? Or given a world that's swirling like that, can I be the eye of the storm? Maybe my world doesn't actually have to feel like that. I'm saying that our world out there feels like that for a lot of people. There's weird context right now. What if I don't need to feel like that at all? And the words, how we say them, they construct our world. Does that make sense? Could you hear what I was doing with Marnie's words there? Thank you so much. Beautiful, brilliant. Let's hear one more aha. Our words are so powerful. They create our worlds. One more aha. I don't mind the pause. Are you enjoying the pause? Thank you, Carly. Just before you speak, Carly, how are you existing in that moment? Were you enjoying the pause, just taking some time to breathe? Or were you going, oh, maybe I should be speaking. Oh, I should be speaking. Oh, who's going to speak next? Uh-oh, is it bad if somebody's paused right now? Our words inside us also create our world. Just notice how you were living that moment without judgment. Just notice, right? I don't mind the pause. It gave me a moment to grab a sip of tea. Carly.
Yes, well, just what Marnie was saying about when you decide to take a leap, it's actually, you're already leaping in a way. Mm-hmm. And that's so true.
The leap already happens once we've leapt before whatever the thing is that we leapt into, because we tap into that leaping energy. And sometimes we think, well, I need to gather my courage and then I'll go do that thing that I'm going to do. But where in the places that you use your words, I'm going to suggest the opposite. Just go do it. Just go do it. See what happens. And then the courage comes from doing that. The confidence comes from doing that. The leap itself produces its own leap inside of us. Thank you for hearing that, Carly. We've already done so much, right? Did you hear that too? Or did you only hear it when Carly consolidated that for this? It's like, oh, that right. That was there for those with ears to hear. Just in it only happened in a half a sentence. Half a minute, maybe, but Carly picked it up. And then, you know, maybe that's the most important piece for you today. I love these little mini consolidation points. Thank you, Carly. All right. Let's take a collective breath. Inhale. Exhale, let it go. And again, inhale. Exhale, let it go. All right. Thank you. I want to spend just a minute or two on the title itself. I want to know what you hear. Practical, I've already spoken about it a bit. Practical applications. Get results with your words. What do you notice in those words? What leaps out at you? What's the most important point? There's no wrong answers in any of this, right? I want to know what you hear. What gets you out of bed about that? What are you puzzled about? What are you interested in? Just a sentence or two from one or two of you. Practical applications, get results with your words. Why would that matter to you? Which part of it matters to you? And then notice how you're living this moment. Are you breathing? Right? Are you taking it as a cup of tea moment, or is your mind going a little crazy, right? And notice how you do anything is how you do everything, right? So are you waiting for somebody else to speak? Thinking somebody else has something more important? Are you not sure about what your words? And so you will always have to wait to make sure that the words are right before you speak. All this is about how we do the words, right? Andrea, thank you.
So my initial reaction to practical applications, it took me back to university and having to do like English courses where it's like so super dry. And so, so shiny. The shiny creative person in me was kind of like, And what I will also say to that is, I was also able to take the step back and take a look and go, okay, like for me, because writing is my living, I also am able to go, oh, okay, so now what can I learn from that to up level the game? For me. And so, yeah, so that was my initial gut. And then, you know, the logical part of me took over. So,
Andrea, I love it. Because one of the things this illustrates too, our words are more complex than it seems. We think, okay, it means this. Practical applications, these are very tangible, tactile words, right? Practical applications, get results with your words. But people come with context. People hear different things. And then how do we figure out our words, right? Because Andrea, from her background, heard a piece of it that, you know, oh, wow, that's the ears that she's coming with. So how do we find words that work? We got to remember that the person in front of us comes with a whole context that we may not know about, which may be different from our own context too, right? Just complexifying a little bit because we think it's just like, Michelle, just give me the fill in the blanks. I'm just going to fill in the blanks and the words are going to work, but it doesn't work that way. It's a complex interaction between real human beings and how does it work on the ground? How does it actually work? That's what I want to get to. And so Andrea, thank you so much for that. Because I hear real people come with context. And what do we do with that as we're finding our words? All right. Anyone else want to share practical applications, get results with your words? What did you hear? You, because probably, you know, Andrea's were unique in how she heard it too. You probably heard those words differently. What did you hear? One more.
I'll go.
Amy, thank you.
I heard, I mean, for me, getting more people just to say yes.
Yes, thank
Reading
you.
Read what I have to say and go.
Yes, get results. What would it be to have more people say yes so I can serve more people in the world, so I can grow my company, so I can help those people? Yes. Jamie on my screen, Jamie and Andrea right beside each other, hearing very different things of those words. And that's, you know, that's all there. So practical applications, get results with your words. What I want to do is walk you through what I hear and the different component parts of practical applications. We're just going to take a couple minutes with this. So that, you know, what is, you know, if it's, and I hope it's not that dry university course that Andrew was like dreading, you know, well, we're going to have some fun here. One of the ground rules, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Sometimes I think, okay, got to get it right. I got to get the words just so. I got to, you know, ugh, no. What if it could be a little more fun? What if it could be a little bit more playful? What are the real ways that words work, right? So I want to share my screen and tell you a little bit about what I think of as practical applications and just a very quick overview. And then week by week, this will make more sense. If we don't get all of it right now, don't worry about it. But I just wanted to give you, can you all see my screen now? It says practical applications at the top, right? So these, to me, are some of the component parts of practical applications. Communicate with clarity, courage, and confidence. Grow your business with alignment and ease. Like Jamie was saying, what would it be to have that, you know, say yes? Andrea said, what about the creative, you know, how do we engage in that creative side? Because words that actually get results involve that creativity. We're going to talk about that actually a little bit later in the call today. So not fancy phrases, not salesy scripts. What are your best ideas in your powerful words? Unlock your natural, honest, authentic voice. It's real words with real people, right? What's your message? How do you attract the right clients and referrals? And a lot of you talked about different places in your survey. For some of you, it was, I want to talk to joint venture partners. I want to talk to my team. I want to get my marketing materials together. I want, like, there were as many different places you wanted to use your words as people who filled out that survey. I want to be networking. I want to do, you know, use words with my speaking. Wherever those words are, we want to learn them in the order we're going to learn them at practical applications. And if your first place isn't until the last module, know that the key, you're probably going to, some people, like, they came to module one and even in prior incarnations of this, and they go, oh my goodness, just after module one, I've been stuck on my copy for my website, Michelle, for 5 years, and I now know what to do. And we weren't even focused on that, right? Because when you learn the principles are the same in the different areas. So learn what to say and what not to say to make an outstanding first and last and lasting impression. So how do we find those words and not get all tongue-tied by, oh no, I said the wrong thing, right? I say the wrong thing lots of times. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It's not about that, all right? Sculpt the stories that will captivate your audience, create raving fans. Master persuasive techniques. We'll talk about that in a second. In module one, this is what we're going to be learning and more today, all right, in the remainder of today's call. Persuasive techniques in every area. You mentioned some of these areas and more. Sales, speaking, marketing, promoting, inspiring confidence, leading your team, and more, right? So the different modules in this course, we've got 7 modules over 6 classes. The last 2 modules we're going to be doing in one call. And module one, this is today. What are the 4 principles of persuasion? What do I need for my words to be effective? What are the foundational principles that, as far as I can tell, need to be there every single time, or else those words are just not going to land? And there's weird ways out there in the industry that people think of it. And when we just make one shift that we're going to make in this call today, things get a whole lot easier and a whole lot more fun. All right. So module 2, how to establish immediate influence and authority. How do I make a great first impression? How do, you know, I went to one networking engagement, made almost $50,000 for the company. How did that happen? Is it some kind of magic words? It's not that. It's how do we connect with people in very real ways, and how do we tap into our words to do it? So we're going to have some fun with 10 networking personalities to avoid, 7 to emulate. But why? It's not that I want you to mimic certain things. How are these networking personalities that then come out in our words, you know, what are we missing about influence and persuasion that causes us to fall into these despite ourselves? And then how do we change it, right? That's part of it. Establishing credibility, trustworthiness, influence, first few minutes of meeting someone. How does that happen? Module 3, 10 keys to make $10,000 plus from speaking even when you can't sell. So this happens regularly in both in this company and people who've learned these techniques. A 20-minute talk that can make 10 or 20 or 30 or $40,000 and more. And what if even a small percentage of that could be true for you? And you might go, I'm not a speaker, Michelle. Yeah, but you speak to somebody in your living room, or maybe not in your living room. Now it's online, right? You're in your living room and they're in theirs. How can you create a talk that moves people to action? And you don't want to start there. You want to start with what we're going to learn in the module before that, right? We move from there to sales, right? So from networking to speaking to sales. What are 5 powerful words that make sales easy? What are the steps to closing high ticket sales with ease? What do you need to ask people so you can figure out, are they the right person that you can help or not, right? Module 5. So all these different key components, even just learning the titles of these is going to be crucial, because where should I use my words first? We took a long time as we were setting out the foundations of this course. Like, there's umpteen million places where we use our words in our companies. These are the key foundational pieces. If we don't have them here, we won't have them anywhere. So even just learning the titles themselves is puts us forward when we have ears to hear. Module 5, words to magnetize your ideal client. Now, this is kind of a weird place to put this. Isn't that, if you've done some work on who your ideal client is before in some other business training, raise your hand. I can't see all of you, but I can see some of you. Yeah, of course, we've all done it before. If you've done it before, but it's still not working exactly the way you like, or you know that there's a next level, raise your hand. Of course, right? So I put this later, because sometimes we play so long with who's our saboteur and is this the right person? We're over there on the page working it out, or we're hiding behind our Facebook ads or whatever it is. We're not talking to real people with 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And once we get on the court, we'll have so much better idea of who that person is and start talking to people, and we'll see it in so much easier way. This is much further down than we would expect, but that in that order, it works so much better. All right. Module 6, converting online. Some of you were asking about this, the principles that we learn earlier on, when you've got ears to hear, are all going to apply. If your very first thing is your sales page, for instance, no worries. Each area, we're going to learn some specific things about how words work in that area. We make mistakes in our copy, so people bounce off our page before they've even read the first few words. Why does that happen? How can we change that? Or we second guess ourselves and we're writing and we're overwriting, or we're afraid to give it to the copywriter because they won't get it, or they, you know, or we don't even know, we can't even hire somebody because we're afraid to hire them. They're not going to get it right. Or we're endlessly doing it ourselves. I don't know, how do we stop all that? And find words online that actually land with all the right people. And then taking your influence to a next level. Where are all those other areas? And once we've been learning piece by piece the foundational places where we use our words, then there's all those other places. Writing your book, team building, self-talk, I didn't put that on the page, there's all these places, team building, self-talk, biographies, about pages, media interviews, podcasts, email campaigns. There isn't enough room to put all those places, right? How do I take what I've learned so I can take my influence to the next level and use my words in all these different places, all right? Through all of this, we want to be aware of the words that are happening inside us. Because if I'm out there saying to somebody, hey, do you want to be on a call next week? I think that would be really great. And everything in our body and our soul is going like, I don't know if I like you, or like, I don't know if I've got time, or, you know, whatever it is, the story's inside. They won't hear us. So all along, we're going to be working at that inner world level as well, because the stories inside and the stories we're telling need to be aligned, or nobody's going to hear, right? So I would love for you to just jot down, just in 1 minute, 30 seconds, just one or two or three places that you really want to use your words. You might have put it in your survey already. And then you go, wow, when you see these other places, you're thinking of some other places that feel even more important. Or maybe you just want to reiterate the ones you already put in the survey. Just take a moment, jot down some places where you want to get results with your words. 30 seconds. Okay, I'd like to hear from, I know that's just a short time, you can come back to that later, all right? But I wanna hear from one or two of you. Once you've heard some of the context, why are you here? What are you most excited about? It might be one of those areas like, right, I really want to hone at the next level how I'm speaking in front of audiences. I want to really learn how I speak to that joint venture partner or that team member. Or I hadn't even thought that deeply about the alignment of the words. I want to investigate more the words that are inside us, or, you know, different layers of the words, right? So let's hear from one or two of you. Practical applications, get results with your words. There are some of the places where we're going to learn how to get results with our words. What are you most excited about? Who would like to share first? What are you here for? It's about setting intentions at the beginning for yourself. Yeah, Dottie.
Because my work is so valuable, and I know that because I'm teaching the same material that I learned myself that worked beautifully for me, I want to be as effective as in communicating as possible. And I also know how busy it seems like the world is. There's so much more, many more offerings today than even a year ago or 6 months ago, that it's really important to be skillful in the words that we use, because people's basic thinking is fearful. Fearful this won't work, fearful it won't work for me, fearful you're not really good, that good at what you do, et cetera. So we have to be very skilled to help people really make a clean, clear, and precise decision.
Dottie, and these were very clear words. Could y'all hear all those pieces? And Dottie wasn't speaking from some script. You know, this was very clear, Dottie. Thank you. And you didn't answer, I want this one area. You went to the 8,000 foot view, which I love. I was suggesting areas. And you said, Michelle, it's really, I want effective communication in every area, because it's a crowded marketplace. There's a lot of voices out there. How does my message stand out so I can actually help the people I'm meant to help? So Dottie went to the 8,000 foot view of why this matters so very much, especially now. Thank you, Dottie. Beautiful. Let's hear from one more of you. Who would like to share next? A particular area, or like Dottie did, a particular reason. Why are you here?
So I want to have another year where I double business. And in order to do that, I need people to hear me as clearly as possible and just go.
Jamie,
it can't all come from me.
Thank you. I just doubled, and congratulations, and I'm ready to double again. I'd better be clear. And how clear was that? Fantastic, right? Can we have those kinds of clear communications and then not get all caught in our head? Because I said Dottie was clear and Jamie was clear. Sometimes that goes right to our editor. Oh, wow. I better watch my words and I better get it right, because those people were clear. I better be clear too. Like, our words get tied up in all kinds of ways. Clear, real communications with people who we can actually help. Thank you. All right. Anything bursting to be said about why you're here, without which we can't go forward? That's a different kind of call than what I had before. anything that you just really want to share before we go forward? You're good?
I'll share, Michelle.
Karen, thank you.
Thank you. So although, you know, I train people in sales, so this part of this is, you know, I feel like I'm going to be learning a small tweaks, but the big thing that I noticed is because I train people on stage, you know, and on webinars, I've really ignored the whole networking thing. So when you said the word networking, I thought, because I'm just so used to being in front of groups and that I train people to be in front of groups, I've kind of left that whole networking piece out. So when people talk to me on the phone, they have a much different experience than when they're on stage with me or when I'm training them to do webinars. And I think what happens, so maybe you can help with this when we, you know, when we go through the chorus, is that I have tremendous amounts of patience on stage, but I don't have any patience when I talk one-on-one to people. So basically I just say, well, this is it. And this is an amazing course. And there's five people who have already showed you are earning over $100,000. Don't know what else you need. So, you know, yes or no kind of thing. So I have this way about me that's very blunt and very abrupt, but it only shows up one-on-one. It's like, for some reason, there's something inside of me that says, let's just have you make up your mind now. And, and yet the rest of my business is completely different. And so there's something in me and I can't quite figure it out why I feel that way one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a group, I don't feel that way at all. So
I love that. I love that. And then here's the thing, a couple things that I want to pull out from what you said, Karen. So small tweaks. The further we are in business, like the more experienced we are, and there's people here with very different backgrounds, very different industries, very different levels of experience. So don't compare, first I want to say to everybody, don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle, right?
Yeah.
Don't compare. And that might be in different areas too. We might be very, you know, what we think of as advanced in one area, but the other area we don't have experience. So be on your own journey here. I want to mention that first. The second thing I want to say is small tweaks. The further we are on the journey, the more we know that the tiniest little tweak changes everything.
Yes.
Changes results. And so Yvonne and I were just at an event serving on a different team. And, little tiny, tiny tweaks that radically change everything. Everything. So whether you're here because and it's all foundational and all new, fantastic. Whether you're here and know that you'll have little tweaks from your own background, you've got expertise in a particular area, you're going to be at that tweaking level for some things where somebody else who's got more business experience will be not seeing that at all, right? But whether it's those kind of big scale moves or these tiny little tweaks, know that there will be things here for you that have the power to move the world. Because also with what you said, Karen's like, oh, wow. It's like, I just realized I've been neglecting this piece. Maybe those are my roots before, but I've been jumping over that. Then I would say, and Karen, you're okay if I push? If I just play a little bit?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes,
so
please.
If that's happening, where else might that be leaking in where you might not be aware of it, where you might not be seeing? If there's some kind of block here, if it's going in a way that you don't want over here, or it's just not right, or it's just not, or it's abrupt, and nothing wrong with directness, but if it's abrupt or something that is just not working in the way that you want, are there threads of it? Are there traces over here that are creating an invisible ceiling where the next level is being blocked because of something that's happening over here?
I think that's true because, I really don't I don't like to work one-on-one, so I'll just be honest with you on that. I don't prefer it. I prefer big groups of people, not one-on-one. But I think it does, yes, it does limit me, because there is more and more really, really people that could benefit from my one-on-one work. So just a case in point, somebody this morning. So yes, I'm starting to say yes to it. And I realize there must be something in me that doesn't really want to do it.
You know? Yeah, right. So, and thank you for that as well, yeah. Karen. So, and I'm just going to finish with this piece here so that there, 'cause there's some really key content pieces that I want to make sure you guys all have before we leave today. But I want to end with this part here. That's that inner block. I'm saying this, but I actually don't, some part of me is pulling back, and then I'm working way harder than I ought to be. Because some part of me is saying yes, some part of me is saying no, and I'm being pulled apart. And the person in front of me, if there's confusion inside me, how are they going to say yes? How are they going to step cleanly and strongly into possibility? So notice that. And then, so thank you for that, Karen. I'm just going to meet your line, just that, again, we've got that strong, a clear line. And so much that we're going to be doing together here. Thank you for giving yourself this gift of these 6 weeks together. And for practical applications, you may be hearing that differently now. Get results with your words. Why it's so important, in which areas, in which order, and then beginner's mind as well, too. I want to add that with what Karen said. It's like, okay, well, I already did that before in my company. And so now I'm over here. And thank you, Karen, for your, you know, vulnerability and honesty about that. It's like, oh wait, you know, I've been skipping over this, and what else is where, what's being blocked because I've been doing that, for instance, right? So and for others it might be, oh, I'm just a beginner, I don't know those things. Oh, like what, how is that inner dialogue taking you out, maybe when it doesn't need to be? Maybe things can move so much faster than you think. All right, so here's what we're gonna here are the pieces that I want to give you from today's call, already doing so much about words, about how they work, about how they're on the core, about it's a real people, about how our audience hears differently. Like, so many pieces already. When you go back to, if you go back to listen to this after you've done the whole course, you're going to hear much more than you were hearing today. That's even true for me, and I've been teaching this stuff for years, right? So couple pieces I want to talk about, though. You know, what is persuasion anyway? What's out there that really doesn't work? Why battlegrounds and formulas don't work. And then three key foundations for the course that we're going to learn today. And if we don't finish them today, we're going to get to finish them off next time. All right. Those three key foundations, they won't mean anything yet, but I want to tell you what they're called. Four principles of persuasion. It's number one. The start close in principle. It's number two. And number three, the principle of connection, because everything is connected. All right. So those are some core training pieces from today. And I want to start. So again, I'll just repeat those. Don't worry if you miss it. We're going to come back to these things. You'll get it. All right. The three key foundations for the course, four principles of persuasion is the first one. Start close in principle is the second one. And the principle of connection, because everything is connected. So first off, what's out there that doesn't work? If we think about our words do many things. Our words connect, our words put us in relationship, our words explain, our words persuade, our words influence, our words do many, many things. If we want to get results with our words, that means we have impact, we have influence, that we're persuading people in some way. Now, if you're here to have power over somebody else, you want to persuade like a hammer, you know, on somebody's head and make them do stuff or manipulate or something, you're like, please just hang up. It's the wrong place, right? That's not what you're going to learn here, right? It's not the way I see either influence or persuasion. What is it to have words that people listen to and they take action on and for the highest good of all, right? So at the heart of it, influence and persuasion are about that. So what are some things out there that don't work? It's not that it doesn't work. We can do it this way. It's just not my way. It's not what you're going to hear here. So influence, there's a really influential book called The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. And it's so interesting to listen to the way he talks about influence in that book. Because how many of you know of that book? Raise your hand. Do you know of it? A couple of you know of that book. All right. Yeah, it's right there. Thank you, Andrea. And Andrea, maybe you've read it, for instance, cover to cover, but if you went back and listened to it with this in mind, you might hear it very differently. I mean, I've been working with words and stories over 25 years, and I listen to sometimes different things than other people are listening to. And when he talks about the psychology of persuasion, all his words are like a war. Remember I said tactical, and I'm like, no, wait, let me change my words. His words are like, wow, these people have tried to influence me and I have to defend myself against them. So let me give you some tactics, tactical, it's all war language, so that, you know, it's like we're living on a battleground. What if it doesn't have to be that way? What if we have a different foundational start? What if it's about connection instead of embattlement? That's what you're going to get here, right? So to me, maybe it can work, but what kind of world are we living in anyway? I don't even want to live in that world. I'd rather create connection. I'd rather create relationship. I'd rather create win-win-win situations. If it's a battleground, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. How about a different starting place? Sometimes when we think about influence or persuasion, it's boring forms or fill in the blanks or rhetoric training, the stuff that Andrea is talking about, like, oh no, kill me now, right? No. Boring, and it's not how real communication and real words work. So let's leave that out. And the same thing, not fill in the blanks. You know, I mean, we can go so far with some of these things. Go ahead and investigate those if you want, but that's not what you're going to get here. Like, I just want the, you know, 30 seconds of the words that I'm supposed to use in my elevator pitch every time. Will you please just have me fill in the blank so I can get there? I'm not saying those things can't work or being tactical can't work, but they only go so far, or they create a world that I don't particularly want to live in. As I say, a world that's embattled. We already have enough embattlement out there, you know? And the fill in the blanks, if I've got my picture perfect elevator pitch, people are hearing it differently, like Andrea just showed us. Maybe picture perfect, but not for that person standing in front of me. Now what? And then what am I going to say before? And what am I going to say afterwards? There's a whole conversation. Our world doesn't work in little sound bites. It's not just little snippets and sound bites, right? The other thing that doesn't work, or that I'm not interested in, is like starting online without talking to real people. I know people have spent like $10,000 a month on Facebook ads, and then they get no results. Because it's like, let me talk to these faceless masses out there and I don't even know who they are. Let me string some words together somehow. And if I just get the right, you know, Facebook ads person, or if I just spew this out on social media in the right way, somehow, like, it's like throwing paint on the wall and hoping something sticks. This is not what we're going to get here. To me, either these don't work or they're coming from a place that just causes pain in the end. If that makes sense to you, that this is maybe we want to start in a different place than that, raise your hand. Did you hear that? Thank you. And thank you for that, Karen. Thank you. All right. So if we want to start in a different place, where do we start? And for me, it all starts with a simple act. It was 2 years ago now. It happens in my life all the time, but there was one day that I just paid attention. One day that it's like, oh, right. It was just a simple moment with my daughter. I told you about one of them last week, a different moment. But a moment with my daughter. If we want to think about how do we get results with our words, it all comes out of this very simple story. I was over in the living room with my daughter. I don't even remember now, because it was a couple of years ago, why I wanted her to come to the other room. I knew she was tired. I knew she had too much on her plate. I knew she was in the middle of exams. I knew it was just like wrong time for her to move. But I just said, Dana, would you come here and see something? She did not want to get up. There was nothing that was moving her. No way. She got up and came. She didn't even know what it was. So she'd come and see what I wanted to show her. I've thought about that moment for the last couple of years so much. Why did that happen? When we understand why that happened, it changes our world. nothing different than a Facebook ad, nothing different than our marketing, because we think it's all marketing speaky stuff. It comes from that story. Why did my words work? What do you think? Talk to me about it. If you think about it beforehand, this is going to land for you so much better. Why did she didn't want to get up? She was busy with other stuff. She didn't even know what it was that I wanted her to get up for. But she got up anyway. Why? Take some guesses. What do you think? There's no wrong answers here. It's the keys to the kingdom. Andrea.
Part of it, I think, would be the foundation of your relationship already. And knowing that when you call to her and ask her to come, there is a reason for it. You don't, you know, randomly do that to her.
Thank you. We are in relationship. This is foundational. This is first. And you go, what? I can only do that with my daughter? No, but this is foundational. I'll talk about that in a minute. Yes. And there's a reason. She trusts me, right? For sure. Why else did she actually get up? And I want us to think about this. I mean, this has happened in your own life too. Simple, simple things that move the world when we just think about them for a moment.
Possibly a situation of social exchange. So you've done things for her and she is doing things for you back, which is really to that relationship, but it's also part of the psychology of relationships.
Okay, so if she goes there, I've done things for her and maybe I'll do things for her later. That could be it. Like all these things could play in there for sure. That might be part of it. I've thought and thought and thought about this moment. And this, yes, go ahead, Dottie.
Well, this is pretty, you know, pretty basic, but it's like, because she's your daughter and lives in your house, she really doesn't have a choice.
Oh, I don't know. My daughter's pretty stubborn. And I'm That's so glad weird. You said that, Dottie, because it's like, does she feel forced in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
But I would posit that there was nothing in her that was forced, because that goes right back to that. Is it just a hammer over her head and therefore? And there are ways that we can create that as a war or an embattlement or make people. And again, this is not the course for that, right? So did I make her? I didn't make her, but still she felt compelled inside herself like she was going to do it. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead. One more piece.
I've been studying lately a lot about people, their thinking inside, and the bottom thought, the most overwhelming thought is fear. So she also may have come because, and I know your relationship's very soft and sweet, and I wouldn't imagine she's fearful of you, but there may be some little level that I'll miss out on something if I don't do this.
Yeah, so all of those pieces could be playing a role. And you know, that fear, it's kind of primal. Our ancestors were like, yes. Man, if I don't be in connection, if I, you know, I'm going to get eaten by a tiger or whatever. So, you know, there are some programming like human psychologically, of, you know, so all those could be playing a role. It's all, you know, great answers. Thank you. Here are the pieces that I see as absolutely foundational. And this is right at the foundation of the course. This is right at the foundation of this call. This module is entitled The Four Principles of Persuasion. And it's like, how do we keep it real? It's the acronym REAL. And I'm going to tell you what that stands for so that we are engaged in real relationships, not some kind of power over, not some kind of hammer, not some kind of trick, and nothing like that. Not a battleground, not a fill in the blank. REAL stands for relationship. Empathy, that's the E. The A is add word skill. It's a piece that actually, interestingly, none of you pointed to, but it's a key component there. I'll tell you how, but I just told her, come here, all right? And the number four is love the genre, the fourth piece, REAL, relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. Let me explain each of those pieces to you. Relationship, Andrea pointed to it right away. It's foundational. Michelle, she's your daughter. Of course she got up, right? But that's exactly the point. How do we create those relationships and quickly? Sometimes we think, okay, well, I need to have known the person for 5,000 million years. And therefore, then I have that relationship. It's got to be my daughter. And I give my daughter as an example. But we must create real relationships, and that can happen so much faster than we think. People sometimes ask me, Michelle, how come you meet somebody and the next day you're there, you're a $20,000 client? How did that happen? And so we can enter into deep and profound relationships sooner than we think. Relationship. It's number, that's the R in real. And we'll have some of these things. I'll give you some little acronyms. We'll do this sometimes. We'll give you some handouts too, so you can remember these. You can jot them down, right? And we're going to be playing with these. You'll get it, all right? E, empathy. Just because we have a relationship in the way that I approached her, and our communication is body language, it's words, it's all of that. She knew that I knew that she didn't want to move. Do you get what I'm saying? If there was anything in my tone of a presumptuousness of like, okay, Dana, let's go, you know, those sound like almost the same words. No way. My daughter's stubborn. No way she would have come. Mom, do you not see? I'm in the middle of studying. I've got an exam, right, you know, empathy for where she is in that moment. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Just because of a relationship wouldn't have worked, right? She wouldn't have got up. I'm trying to help her. It was something that was going to serve her, all right? Or I wouldn't have asked. And again, that's that Dalai Lama and Hitler. I assume that you're doing things that work in the world like the Dalai Lama or your equivalent, you know? We call it something, we're trying to help people, right? So then how do we have our words that land and people take action on them? Relationship, empathy. Number three is the A in real, add word skill. Now you might go, Michelle, what word skill was there? You just said, hey, Dana, would you come over here, take a look? I don't remember the exact words. It was something like that. I could have blown it with my words, though, even though I'm skilled with words. Those words were highly skillful. So we need to have word skill. Let me give you an example of non-word skill, and she wouldn't have got up. Deadwood. What I call deadwood is a part of word skill. We don't want deadwood. Deadwood is extra words that we don't need that get in the way. It's one small example of word skill. And if we don't have word skill, our words don't land in the way that we want. If I had extra words that got in the way, she wouldn't have got up. Hey, Dana, would you please come over here? I know you're really busy right now, and I know you've got to get to that exam, but I'd just really like you to come see this thing because it's really important and you're really going to like it. And if you just take a couple minutes, Dana, it's not going to take too long. And you just get up off the door. Do you want me to help you up out of the chair? Like, no way she'd have gotten up. If you see that, raise your hand. You don't even have to know my daughter to know that. Word skill, add word skill, even an interaction as simple as that. The last one. Love the genre. We need to know what kind of word situation we're in. I'm borrowing the word genre from, you know, we usually use genre like different kinds of story forms, for instance, right? There's comedy, there's drama, and there's different forms, like there's the novel, there's poetry, there's different categories, all right? And in business, we have those too. Am I networking now? Am I on stage? Am I online with a sales page? Am I doing an email string? Am I talking to a joint venture partner? Am I talking to a team member? These are all different genres. If I'm speaking, am I speaking for 20 minutes? Am I teaching? Am I speaking for an hour? Am I doing a 4-minute video? If I don't understand the kind of form that I'm in, I'll get it wrong, right? I might have, for instance, thought that I was a preacher preaching from the pulpit. Let me give you an example. Hey, now, all those people who come, it's a bad problem. I'm going to do a caricature here. Please forgive me, all right? Caricature. Let's say I did a caricature of a pulpit. Oh, my goodness, right? But let's say I talked like that. I'm like, you already get it, right? You know? I want to save your soul and come on over here because, you know, like, I know the best. And, you know, that's a horrible version of a preacher. I mean, good preacher does much better than that. But I might do a bad version even of a preacher speaking from the pulpit. There are places where that's entirely appropriate. Hey, I know you guys, you know, care about your soul. Let me tell you the three things you need to do. perfectly appropriate over there. If I'd used that, if I thought it was some other genre and did it with my daughter, would she have come? No way. Four principles of persuasion: relationship, empathy, AdWords skill, love the genre. The relationship can build much more quickly than we think. We need to be attuned to that person in that moment. If you've been different people almost, it feels like you've been a different person in a different moment. Think of when you were angriest at your kid or your partner. Think of when you were in a loving embrace with them. Think of when you were working on a sales page. If you show up differently, raise your hand. Who's that person being? What do they care about in that moment? Empathy. AdWords skill, I just gave you one piece of word skill. There are so many pieces, and we'll learn more of the pieces through this series. And then love the genre. A 4-minute talk is not the same as a 7-minute talk, is not the same as a 20-minute talk, is not the same as networking. And when we confuse them, I can't go network. And that might be part of what could be happening with you, Karen, because you're so used to being on stage. I can't network the way I speak from stage. I already have a certain authority when I'm speaking from stage and people are, or teaching, for instance, like there's a reason that you're here. And so I can just declare things. If I go in and do that when I'm networking, hey, here's the three things that I think you should learn, man, people are going to run. So the four principles of persuasion. All right. Jot down the one that you think that you've sometimes missed, or the one that's your favorite, or the one that you have an insight about. Just take a moment. They're all important, but take a moment and choose one and go like, oh, right. I haven't thought about where that person was at that moment. Or man, I've confused the genre. Just take a moment, write it down. Okay, I want to give you a couple more principles before we close out the call. And I'm going to stay after our 2 p.m. Mountain Time close for whatever questions you guys might have, all right, so that we can close. And then for those who want to stay with questions, feel free to ask questions and also post your questions for next time, and we'll work them into somewhere in the middle of the call, all right? So at least that's my intention. So another teaching point from today. All right, so if we want those real relationships, that acronym REAL, if we want to know what gets people up out of their seats, and if there are different places where we can use our words, where do we want to start? You can see the arc of this course. It starts from close in. So here, the start close in principle says, I am going to start with the closest thing possible, and I'm always going to make it closer to me so that my words land. So for instance, if I have the chance to make a cold call or a warm call is closer in. It's somebody that I have a connection with already. I will make a warm call. If it's somebody that I want to reach and I don't have any connection with them, it's a cold call, but they're a friend of a friend. I will see if I can like make a closer connection, so I'm closer in. If I could start by running a Facebook ad or networking, I'm going to start with networking. That's closer in. I don't, in this COVID-19 world, I don't have to be live to be close in. I might be on a one-on-one call and a Zoom call. That's closer in. If I'm a speaker, if I'm speaking live, that's closer in than when I'm virtual. If I don't have that opportunity, if I'm speaking virtually, but I can see you guys like this, that's closer in than if I can't see you. I want to always start as close in as I can. And this course is designed that way. I want to master the skills close in, networking, move to far and learn the principles there, and then move to far away to online. Why? Somebody tell me. Yeah, Andrea.
Because if you can't make that connection in your one-on-one, you're never going to make that connection to a large group.
Thank you. If somebody with an eyes, you know, two eyes, a nose, and a mouth is not listening to me at all, has no interest in it, and you know, they're, I'm not talking to just a random person too. There's somebody that is in my ideal client zone or is a team member or whatever it is. How can I have a hope of hitting the masses, right? Or like having them understand that if that one person in front of me is not awake, alive, and engaged? I practice on the court there. Yeah, Andrea.
It's funny when you said start from close in, I actually originally took that in a different direction, in that like anytime you're making that connection or selling to somebody, it doesn't matter if you're in front of a stadium, you're always selling to one person at a time. Yes. And that's where I actually thought you were going to take that. And then I was like, oh, this is a whole different direction. So I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reason that we say that, because we're trying to, if we're speaking in front of a whole audience, we want to envision one person. Well, let's go do that first. Let's actually do that. Be on the court with that. All right. So
Michelle.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm sure that's most people's experience. It hasn't been mine, though. You know, I've built a really successful company over 10 years speaking to groups, and yet the one-on-one has never been developed, never.
You know, Karen, I love that. And here's the thing. Sometimes it's so close to us that we don't even know it. What did you do in your prior career, Karen?
I was a teacher.
Oh, right. In classrooms, right there on the live. And for how long?
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? It's so close to us, we don't even know it.
Yeah. So I guess with children, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's funny.
And,
right?
And Karen, for how many years did you do that? Close in with those kids and practicing all of those skills?
I guess it was about 8 years.
Oh, only 8 years of close in. Got it. All right.
That's all funny. Right.
What I want to do, there's another principle I want to teach you. I'll talk about that principle of connection next time. But what I want to give you, without an example of it, I just want to tell you that connection matters. Connection matters. You already know this in general. We're going to go there more specifically next time. But think of it this way. Let's just start here so I can just seed this, and we'll take it further next week, next Thursday. If relationship mattered in my story with Dana, but I'm just meeting somebody at the grocery store and I don't have that relationship with them. I've known my daughter for 21 years. I guess I'm sunk. I can't do anything with that person or my team member or whatever it is. And that's just not true. I want to be able to create that connection and create that relationship. And I can do it much more quickly than I think. And it starts from connection. And if any of you ever watched Sesame Street, raise your hand. I'm dating myself, I know. Or you've heard of Sesame Street, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. So, you know, one of these things is not like the other. And this thing and that thing and that thing, they're all connected. Like these are all shoes and this is a box. Do you remember that part of Sesame Street? Things are connected. You know, this is a box and this is a box. Or this is the color red and this is the color red. We start by connection. How do we build that relationship? By connection. You're from Toledo? No way. I'm from Toledo too. I'm not from Toledo. You love red shoes? I love red shoes too. You know, like where do our lives genuinely and actually overlap? So here's my, and we'll build on that for next time as we start looking into the foundations, networking. And Karen, I love that line. I don't do that at all. Oh, but I did that on the ground for 8 years first, right? It starts close in. It starts close in. So I just want you to notice your close in interactions this week. If you don't usually have them, go ahead and have them. And what's going on? How are they happening? It might be at the grocery store. If you're still going to the grocery store and you're talking, might be on a Zoom like you're talking to somebody. It might be when you're talking to your kid or your cousin or whatever it is, or whoever you live with. Watch your close in interactions. And how can you create connection? And how quickly can you create it, right? And how can you create those, keep those connections real, right? Where's the relationship? Where's the empathy in the moment and so on, all right? So that's it for, you know, I know we're at our time here. So if you need to leave, and Yvonne, yes, was there something that I missed?
We have a pretty handout for the REAL acronym. Do you want me to
post Yes, that? We do. And what we're gonna do is we'll make sure that people have that. Let me see. Actually, do you want to put it in the Facebook page? Would you do that for me, Yvonne?
Yeah, I will do it there too.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So that's your home plate. And then we'll kind of officially close the call right now. For those who can stay past the hour here, one aha, one inspired action. If you have to leave, I suggest you go put that on the Facebook page. One aha, one thing that opened for you, all right, in this call. If there wasn't more than one aha, then go back and listen to it again. There were many, I hope, right? And then one inspired action, so that, you know, what's one checkoffable action? So I know that something from this I'm taking out into my real world and really making a difference, all right? So one aha, one inspired action for those who are here, then I'll stay for questions for those who have them. So for those who are left after our official close here, thank you for those still here. So Dottie, will you begin with one aha and one inspired action to take us home? Oh, and don't forget to unmute. Dottie, you're muted.
An aha was more the reminder about start, close in. And the big aha was, I don't like to start close in because I don't think I'm a little like Karen. I think I'm better with talking to a class than an individual. Mm. And so I'm not that comfortable with it. So I'd rather talk to a stranger.
Ah, so what are the, going back to first principles, what is it to really have a deep connection with one single human being? Or it's like, again, there's different ways that we can start close in, you know, live versus virtual, or seeing people versus not seeing people. Where can I start the closest in, talk to a single human being, because maybe I'm hitting a ceiling that's invisible that I don't even know about, because there's another deeper layer of skill that I can learn there that I can then apply in the audience. If, for instance, in an audience, I want to imagine this one person, well, what about actually going to do that? And how does that deepen what I'm doing from stage, for instance? So thank you for that, Dottie, beautiful. What's your inspired action?
My inspired action is I'm not good with homework, but I have a long history of that, but my inspired action is to try to go on Facebook and really work this class like I've never worked any of the previous ones.
Well, good for you, Dottie. And how about you also play? Because can you hear the efforting in that? Our words carry stories, right? I'm going to work it. I'm going to really make it happen. Well, how about you also play with it? How about you also see what's fun in it? How about also you, like kind of like Andrea, where's the creative part of it? So I challenge you to do that as well. Okay? Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Karen, you're up next.
Oh, thank you. Oh, hang on. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you now.
I had it unmuted. My apologies. I was clapping for Dottie and I was writing down what you asked me to do. Hang on one second. Okay.
So one aha and one inspired action. Yeah.
So what I wrote was digging into why I resist one-on-one, whether that's networking, phone calls, or any kind of support, you know, for people. And then my one inspired action is I have a referral that wants me to call her person. And again, I have felt resistance to it for the past week. So I'm going to pick up the phone and call today and have a deeper conversation, ask more questions, and actually see if I can feel like a deeper connection versus mm-hmm. just, you know, trying to keep things on the surface like I normally do, right? So I want to have a deeper connection. And I think I do that with my friends on the phone, but for some reason there's a resistance there. So that's what I'll do.
I love it. Thank you. Checkoffable, hugely practical, and right in line with all the things that we're learning here. And I love the insight too. It's like, why am I resisting this piece? And again, if there's a ceiling over there or something you're bumping into, where else is that having, that's that nuanced move, right? Where else is that having a ripple effect in my company that I didn't even realize was there?
Yes, fantastic. Exactly.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Marnie, you're up next.
So somewhat similar, the discussion about what's closest to us sometimes isn't most obvious. And I think that's really prevalent when people become experts that they forget that they started somewhere else and that they had to develop all those skills. And so we're not young people on this call. So I hear, you know, a tremendous amount of life experiences that have already been shared in this session. But that we
go. So Marnie, and I just, something that you said there is so important. And just speaking to Karen's, it's like, well, I know it starts over here. Oh, wait, but I have all this experience that others might not have. And so what insight might that give me as a trainer even then, as I'm building my company, or what are the pieces that, like, that's beautiful. And this is a really great example of sometimes there's going to be people on the call, people, different stages of business, different backgrounds and so on. But sometimes it's that beginner's mind. If I've built this, it's like, oh, what is that? That going back to first principles, right? And then for you, Marnie, like this, all this vast experience in one area, and you bring all that to the plate, and others might not have that. And so they're not going to hear a piece that you think they'll hear. So thank you for that. Nice, great insight.
Yeah.
What's your inspired? Was there another piece you want to add there, Marnie? And again, if you need to go, we won't take offense. All right. Okay. Because I know we're over time.
Well, I was just going to say, when you were talking about, you know, coercion and power, I taught police officers for 25 years. And of course, use of force is a big issue right now. And most people think we teach that power and authority are the way to go, when in fact, we taught the opposite.
Hmm.
Which is really about connection and that concept of empathy and being where they're at. And so as you were talking about that, I was going, you know, I know that that's what we taught, but it's not what was practiced by large numbers of people. And so, you know, why does that disconnect happen?
And Marnie, a really, really important piece of this is, oh, right. I did training for police officers for 25 years, and it wasn't about power over, it was about connection and empathy. I can transfer, as for some of you, this might be the most important thing in this whole call, I can transfer that excellence over here into this arena where maybe I feel like I don't know anything, for instance, about networking that we're going to step into next week. Oh, wait, I've got 25 years of deep dive experience that I was creating the curriculum for it that I can draw on. Fantastic notice, Marnie.
Right.
I'm going to have you move over to your inspired action, just so that we can get this call in a few minutes.
Just to do some real conscious awareness of why I have resistance from some people and connection to others. So what's the difference in the conversation?
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be seeing all kinds of things that will help you see that call by call here, Marnie. This is fantastic and great, great awareness. Thank you. Love it. Carly, you can bring us home and then I'll stay again. If anybody has questions, I will stay. But Carly, our last aha and inspired action.
Well, I love being on this journey with you, Michelle, because I'm recalling back to so many different things that you've been teaching and how much of it's all so intertwined. You know, the starting close in and being one-on-one, I too am a little bit more comfortable in front of a group and have been kind of thinking, okay, what, you know, when am I comfortable? Well, one-on-one. Well, actually it is when there's empathy involved and there, mm-hmm. My mom's a psychologist and she taught me very early how to connect with people kind of on that level. I'm very fortunate in that way. And so that's a big aha to kind of, whenever I'm feeling a little not insecure, but impatient or, you know, not necessarily comfortable in a situation, to use that tool and to be aware that I can tap into that at any moment. So that's
Carly, really I love that. So the resources that we bring to the table so that that relationship can happen more quickly, whether it's years in the classroom, years of police force training, years of sales work, years of learning from my, you know, your mom is a psychologist. My mom's a nurse who has a huge background in psychology. And it's like, we have those resources that we can bring to the table to allow this to happen, to have our words have an impact sooner than we think, in deeper ways than we think. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. What's your inspired action?
Well, I literally, right before we got on this call, had a meeting where it was a very close-in meeting with new people, and it was great. I'm going to journal and reflect on that, on where I did feel that I made those empathetic connections and what worked.
Huh. great thing to do. This worked. What worked? Let me actually study that and think about that and bring that to consciousness so I can bring that into my next interaction that may be a completely different kind of interaction. But when you bring these principles, like shine, look at that through the light of these principles, see what was working, so much easier, so much more fun. Yeah. Thank you, Carly. Thank you all for, if you're still hearing my voice in the recording, thank you for staying here. Thank you for those who are still here alive. This is our second call of the ending of this call, having finished the Ahas Inspired Actions. And feel free, even if you said them here, to go post them in the Facebook page. There's something about being witnessed. There's something about claiming that aha, claiming that inspired action that really moves the needle for us. So feel free to do that. Use that. The Facebook page will be as useful to you as you choose it to be. Lean in, right? So thank you so much for being here. I will stay. If I'm the only one here, then we'll close the call. If there's anybody here asking questions, I'll stay for the next little while to answer those questions. So again, thanks for being here. I'm so excited about our journey together. It's going to be an awesome ride. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.